morning. Welcome as we continue our summer series, which is You Asked For It. So these are all the things. So if you get to the end of the sermon, I never thought about this before, but if you get to the end of the message, you go, I don't know if I like that topic. I don't know either. And I have no idea who submitted it. So I don't know what to tell you. Wait till next week. It'll be different. So I first have to say thank you, Michael. I don't want to embarrass him, but I'm going to. Michael, would you stand up? Can we just thank Michael for last Sunday? I know, you don't want to stand up. Thank you, brother, for doing that, for being willing to step in and to open the word and to preach. If you didn't catch it, you can watch it on YouTube. If you listen and do podcasts, if you search our church in Apple Podcasts, you'll find Thrive Indianola. You can listen to it that way as well. You can go to our Facebook page. It gets posted up there as well. So I would encourage you to do that if you've not listened to that. And listen to that great way you put together all creation, the whole idea of evil, where it comes in. And it was amazing. Thank you for being willing to step in and open up the scriptures to us. So this morning, here is kind of the question. I'm going to take it a certain way, but here it is. The requirements of the Old Covenant, an Old Covenant, if you think of your Bible, we will in a moment talk about this, versus the liberating New Covenant brought by Jesus. Now, probably most of us get that there are two parts of our Bibles. There is an Old Testament and New Testament. Just change that word testament to covenant. It means the same thing. And you'll understand we have an old and a new. And sometimes we go, why do we have them both? What are they about? Isn't one easier? You hear a lot of people just stick to the New Testament. You know, it's easier. It's about Jesus. I think I get that stuff. I don't get the stuff way before that. It gets kind of confusing. So what I'd like to do this morning is help us just cut through some of this and understand the difference between the old and the new, understand what God was doing through everything, and then give some help at the end just to know, okay, so my Bible reading plan calls for me to read Jeremiah, and I don't know, it's difficult, it's tough, or you're reading Leviticus, and you're like, what am I doing here, okay? It's going to help you bring a couple of things into your mind as you come forward and read that passage on that particular day, or you read that chapter, you read that section, or you hear about something in the Old Testament, or somebody asks you a question about why is that in the Bible, you know, because there's lots of those stories. And I know some of you, we had conversations, you attempted to submit those for You Asked For It. Yeah, let the pastor talk about that, you know. Oh, gosh, you know, that would have been fun. So anyway, that's what we do. But so I wanted to kind of lay out for you so you understand the Bible you have in your hands, whether you have an pre-version or an e-version, that you understand the scriptures, you understand how it lays out, and it will help you and help all of us understand it better as we approach the scripture. So I want you to know about God's plan. God had a plan all the way from the beginning. Adam and Eve did not sin, and then he goes, uh-oh, what are we going to do, okay? It wasn't a huge conversation in heaven. We got to figure this out. I don't know. What do we do? I don't know. You know, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit did not go, I don't know what to do about this, okay? They had a plan. They had a plan all along. It talks about that in Scripture. God knew what was going to happen. God had a plan all along. So his plan, and this is really important because the Old Testament talks about this, starts with a man by the name of Abraham who brings forth a nation called the nation of Israel. If you wonder where Israel comes in, who brings forth, there's got to be a nation to bring forth everything, to bring forth the Savior whose name is Jesus. And that's where we get to switch into the new covenant. Jesus has come. So we have no more about Israel and Abraham and that whole family and this nation of Israel, and they got a king, and this king is good, and this king is bad, and this king is bad, and this king is good, and reading through all this stuff. And that's what you need to understand, that God has a plan that he is going to carry out. A nation, Israel. God takes this nation, this is really important, because we don't think about it now because of it is 2023, you can travel anywhere, do different things. We're talking thousands of years ago. God takes this nation and puts them at the crossroads of the earth. He does that for a reason. They are not there just out of chance, you know. They're not there out of chance, happenstance, luck. They are there because God put them there at the crossroads of the earth. in order to carry out God's purpose, that they must be holy. When you hear the word holy, I want you to hear the word different. They need to be different. They need to operate different than all the other nations around them. If they're going to be at the crossroads of the earth, if they are going to say, we worship the one true God, we're different than everybody else. They need to be different certain ways. If they're just like everybody else, then what's different? Hey, we're traveling through Israel on our caravan. Well, this is like every other nation. So what? They need to be different because they're following the one true God. So I want you to understand that. That's where God puts them, and God asks them to be wholly set apart, different, okay? Different in three things, different in worship, in law, and in practice. Now, I'm not going to go into a lot of detail on all this. I just want you to understand that they were different. And a lot of what we read in the Old Testament, especially in the first five books, is this is how you're going to be different. And if you read that and you're just like, oh my goodness, that's how do I understand all that? Because they needed to be different in worship, law, and in practice because of where God put them. Okay? Worship. The worship of one God, not many gods. Everybody else had many gods. Egypt had many gods. That's one of the things they dealt with in Egypt. Everything's a god. The sun's a god. The frog's a god. You know, everything's a god. Okay? The worship of one God. There are no idols or images of God. None. That's the first thing. Nope, there's no image of me, God says. There is none. I know everybody else has an idol. I know everybody else has a thing. And you find out Israel did that all the time. What did they do when they sinned? They start setting up idols. Whether it's the golden calf when Moses is on Mount Sinai, or they're setting up Baals, and there's some Asheroth poles. They're setting up idols, okay? Because that's what everybody else did, and they just did everything else. Okay, the worship of one God, that worship took place at either the temple or the tabernacle first, then the temple, okay? And the sacrifice of animals, particular animals, in order to cover sin. Sin had to be covered. And it's going to be a big difference when we get to the new covenant, okay? But sin needed to be covered in order to be dealt with. Something had to die. That's what sin requires, okay? So they were different in worship. Nobody else worshiped this way, by the way. You want to know what sacrifice was often? Human. There were idols everywhere. There were many gods. They had their own little temples and little places, okay? So they needed to be different. The law, love God, love people, the Ten Commandments. That is the simplest way, other than stand up here and reading all Ten Commandments, that's the simplest way. Love God, no other gods before me, keep the Sabbath day, right, all those different things. And then you have love people. Do not kill. Do not commit adultery. Do not covet. There's sacrificial laws. Here's the only animals you can sacrifice. Here's what they need to be in order to sacrifice them. If you've ever gotten stuck in there, we can all admit we have, and you're just like, I got to get through this reading. This is really hard today. Yeah, because you're going, why do I care if the lamb has no blemish and is 3 years old or whatever it is? And why do I care about all this? Because that's all going to set up what God is going to do. There's also priestly laws. A lot of those are in the book of Leviticus. And that's why it just seems like there's all sorts of different things because their priests had to be a certain way. They had to be different, set apart, and holy. And then he took the priests and set them apart even more and made them holy unto him, separate, different, to follow him. Okay? Following me so far, I know this is going to be a lot. Okay? I just want to help us sum it up so you best understand why we have these two things and why we're dealing with them. Practice. They look different from the nations around them. So I want to tell you one way in which they look different from the nations around them. And you might pick this up when you're reading through the Old Testament, okay? The widows, the orphans, and they call them the aliens. We're going to call them the foreigners, okay? They were seen and provisions were made for them. Okay, you might remember Easter, we talked about the story of Rahab. Rahab was probably a prostitute, not because she chose that profession, but because her husband left her. Okay, that was divorce in the ancient world. You were left, cast out, thrown away, and that was the only way you could survive. Okay, so it's very likely that's her case because basically at that point she's operating as a widow. She is divorced. She's left alone. What happened if your husband actually died? You were a widow. Guess what happened in the story of Ruth? You ought to read the story of Ruth. This all comes in an incredible way in the story of Ruth. Well, Naomi's a widow. What's she going to do? She is now in Moab. Do you know what Moab? how they take care of widows, they do nothing. Because that's what most nations did. They did nothing. Well, you can go be a prostitute, take care of yourself. We don't provide for you. And God said, oh no, that's not the way it works. They were seen and provided for. And you will read how they were provided for. And you'll be like, well, that's just interesting. Because God makes sure they were taken care of. Orphans were taken care of. In fact, this carried into the early church. And there was a whole practice in the ancient world where a dad would decide whether or not he wanted his kid or not. And if you didn't want the kid, you would leave them to exposure. You know what that means? You took them somewhere and you just dropped them. You're done with them. And the whole idea of orphanages, you know where that started from? The Christians getting all these babies who were just left for exposure or just left alone. Okay? The widow, the orphan, the foreigner. Ruth is not an Israelite. She is a Moabite. And yet she comes in, and because they have laws, because they are seen and protected for, she is able to glean. She's able to get food. She's able to be taken care of. Well, why did God? God did that. God did that. Why? Somebody goes, you know, it's different there. That's not the way it was when we were in this other nation. Okay, they didn't care about any of this stuff. No, but God does. They are seen and provisions were made for them. So I want you to think about those three things. Okay, worship, law, practice. There's lots of other practices we get to. I would just lose all of you today, okay? That would just be way too much. Worship, law, practice. Just think about those three categories, okay? Then Christ came. Then Christ came. Because then God's like, yes, now is the time, now is the perfect time for him to enter human history and change everything. And that's why the New Testament is so incredible, because we have a huge change taking place. We have this transition from, there's an old covenant with its way of worship, law, practices. Now we have a new covenant. So when Christ came, it changed everything. It changed everything. And that's what you need to know. It changed everything. Single thing. Jesus died for our sins. I say this all the time. Jesus died for our sins and rose for our salvation. If he just died, he would have died like everybody else, but he rose for our salvation. Easter changed everything. What we celebrate on Easter and the resurrection. It changed everything. Now we have a new covenant. Okay? Now I want to help you. If you ever want to understand the differences between the two, open the book of Hebrews. That's where you're going to get a lot of scripture from today. Because Hebrews is written by somebody who understood that. Some people say Paul. I'm not going to get into that today, okay? Written by somebody who grew up Jewish, who understood that, and then understood, then Christ came, and that changed everything. And it just, everything became different. So look at this. By calling this covenant new, he has made the first one obsolete. And what is obsolete and outdated will soon disappear. And right, and people read that, oh, should I just take the Old Testament and throw it out? No, we're going to get to that, right? But you understand. That's why we don't go back and we don't say, well, today, bring your sheep. Okay? Bring your sheep, because we need to sacrifice sheep. That's why we don't do that. Why do we don't do the things in the same things that took place there? Because it's different. Why don't we set up high priests with certain things? Because we're going to find out that Jesus is the high priest. So do you understand there has been a change, that what is obsolete and outdated, he says, will soon disappear. So that is why there is no longer the sacrifices and the high priest and the things that were common before this. The law, this is really important as you're reading and studying. The law is only a shadow of the good things that are coming, not the realities themselves. And that was really important for people who grew up. You grew up Jewish. You grew up in this law. How are you going to handle this? Christ came, and it's different. And how do I make both of these things kind of fit together? I don't know. And he says, do you understand? It was just a shadow. It wasn't a reality. This wasn't the best. The best was yet to come when Jesus came and died and rose again. That's what changed everything. So that is what has now come. So it's only a shadow of the good to come, not the reality of itself. So what changes came in worship, law, and practice? Let me just give you a couple as we start, okay? What changes came in worship? Do you not know that you are God's temple and God's spirit lives in you? I've mentioned this before, okay? That we are blessed to have the building we have, you know? So many people sacrificed in order to give so we could be able to do that. Rick is the one who led that whole charge and had the whole plan to do that, okay? But let me tell you what didn't happen at the end, okay? If you've ever read the Old Testament, okay? We did not pray for God's Spirit to indwell this place. God does not live here. He lives here within us. When we follow Jesus, he lives here. That becomes different. We don't go to the temple or the tabernacle, okay? Because that's where God lives. God lives here. That's really important. The Holy Spirit lives here. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. That means there is no just, oh, yeah, I follow Jesus, but I'm just going to do whatever I want. No, well, you're the temple. Well, you're the temple. That means there's not a point where you think God has left you. You're the temple. There's not a point where you've been abandoned and left. You're the temple. There's not a place you say, oh, God seems so distant. But you're the temple. And he's trying to get us to understand that. Paul understood that and tried to make sure we understand we don't go to the temple anymore because that's the place where God dwells, that God dwells here. That's really important. Don't miss that because that's a foundational, huge difference. That means when we gather, we do so for what? For community, to worship together, to fellowship together, to encourage one another. And a lot of people get that wrong, and oh, man, when I walk in that building, God's going to strike me dead because of my life. And, well, why wouldn't he do that anywhere? Okay? He doesn't dwell here. He dwells here. And we're the collective people of God, worshiping him, gathering together. That's so important for us to remember. You didn't get up on Sunday morning because, oh, I got to go meet God today. Nope. Every morning you get up, you meet God. Every morning. Every single morning, you are the temple. But he entered, this is important, but he entered the most holy place once and for all by his own blood, thus obtaining eternal redemption. So why don't we sacrifice over and over again? Because Jesus died once and for all to end all of that. No more sacrificial laws. Jesus is the high priest. He is the high priest. That changes everything, okay? You know, they had a practice, if you've ever came across this scripture, where the high priest had to go in the most holy place once a year, and he did so with a rope tied around his, you know, ankle, because if he didn't go in there right with God, he dropped dead, right? Can you imagine if you're second in line for that job? That's not good, right? It's like, wow, I'm so glad things have changed, right? So glad things have changed. But Jesus is our high priest. That's why we go to him. That's why we pray in Jesus' name. Well, I don't know. It sounds like a good answer. No, we do that because he is our high priest. He is the one that gives us access to the Father because of what he has done. Those are important things to remember. So Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many. Your sins have been paid for. Don't miss that. Don't miss that your sins have been paid for, that Jesus paid for your sins, that he has covered those. He would love for you to find forgiveness in him. He sacrificed once to take away the sins of many, and he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to all those who are waiting for him, to rescue him from this world and from death. That is why. That is why. So he doesn't come a second time to bear sin. He has already done that. We look to Jesus to be forgiven. Practice. You will run across this phrase, and I'm encouraging you to go across it. We will probably take a Sunday and talk about it. You will find this phrase in the New Testament, the law of Christ. I'll give you an example. Carry another one's burdens, and in this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. Oh, there's a law of Christ. What is that? Man, where's that found? How many pages is that? How many rules? Well, it's pretty simple. It really is pretty simple. What command did Jesus give to his disciples? Love one another as I have loved you. So why he's telling one to carry one another's burdens? Love one another as I have loved you. Encourage one another. All the one another's in scriptures are there to help us. For sin, this is a huge difference. I hope you all just lean in for this. If you're all like, man, this is difficult today. It's okay. Romans 6. For sin will have no mastery over you. Why? Because you are not under law, but you are under grace. See, this is the offer of sacrifice. That's why I specifically use the word that the sacrifice covered your sin. It really couldn't take away your sin, could it? No, because it's just, it's an animal. It's a sacrifice. God accepted that to cover over our sin. Now, sin has no power over us because of Jesus. Because Jesus died and rose again. That's so important. I don't come here just to offer confession and for, no. It's supposed to have no mastery, no control, no authority over us anymore. Because Jesus took all of that and sacrificed that with his own blood. So, now I know that was a ton. How do we put these two together? Because while I give you a lot of information that probably most of you don't care much about, it's okay. I just wanted to give you like a picture here if I could. Because that's my job, to help you understand this. Because if you don't, this is the temptation. I just need to take this Old Testament, throw it out. I'll just have the New Testament. That'll be fine. The New Testament will be enough. And there's places doing that. There's people that do that because, well, the Old Testament's hard and difficult. Don't do that. I hope I can help you in these next few moments the most positive way. Even if you remember nothing else I talked about, the difference between the two, I hope you will get this part. How do we put these two together? At the end of Hebrews 11, Hebrews 11 is a chapter that goes like through the Old Testament. And here's this person and they did this. And you know, they did it by faith. They did this by faith. And it's just an incredible, incredible chapter about faith and the men and the women who just lived out this God is who he says he is and he can do everything he says he can do. It's an amazing chapter. And then at the end, it makes this statement in the last two verses of that chapter. All of these, and at one point it just starts listing names. I've ran out. Okay, we just got to talk about names. It just starts listing names. All of these were commended for their faith, yet they did not receive what was promised. Right? Because they are before Jesus. They are before Jesus. So they didn't get the promise. And yet, what are they doing? Living by faith, following God, doing what I'm supposed to do, okay? They're going to the temple going, really? Why do I got to do this? And we have a high priest, and what's all this sacrifice? Okay, they did this. God is who he says he is. He will do everything he says he will do. And yet they didn't have the promise. For God had provided something better for us. Oh, that's an incredible statement. Because we read all these individuals and we're like, wow, they're amazing. And do you understand it says, God gave us something better. Whew. How can you not thank God for doing that? God gave us something better so that they would be made perfect together with us. That's a tough statement. Let me see if I can find a way to say it a little bit easier. God had a better plan for us that their faith and our faith would come together to make one completed whole. That's the idea of perfect in Scripture. If you ever come across it, you're like, oh, I'll never. The idea of complete and whole. It's the New Testament version of shalom, this idea of completeness and wholeness. God had a better plan for us. Their faith, our faith, God who he says he is and he'll do everything he says he'll do. After the cross, Jesus has died and rose again. We live on that side. That together with them, it becomes one completed whole. Both together gives us the full story of God. So the next time, I'm reading the story of God. And it might be confusing and I have no idea what took place. This is the story of God. Because he's trying to do what? A man, a nation, to bring forth a Savior. So, however that looks, to set them at the crossroads of the earth and make them different, he does so that both together would give us the full story of God. One more thing I want to give you today. This is how Paul. So Paul is going to the church in Rome. And the thing you need to know about Rome, and this is why this verse is so incredible, is that Rome, the emperor at one point, kicks all the Jewish people out of Rome. Get out, leave, okay? Well, if you're a church, okay, because the church has just started, they were meeting in homes, And if you're a church, guess what you have in your church? You have a mixture. You have a mixture of people who are Jewish, grew up that way, but have come to know Christ as their Messiah. So they no longer belong in the synagogue. They kind of got booted out of there. So now they're forming these things called churches in homes. Well, the emperor kicks them out of Rome. So now you're a bunch of Gentiles. You don't know the scripture like these Jewish people do. I mean, they grew up memorizing it, knowing it, and what are we going to do? So the Gentiles survive, right? They got to figure this whole out together. And then a new emperor comes in, and the Jewish people are allowed back in to the same church that they couldn't be a part of because they were booted out of the city. And now they got to figure out how to make this work again. Jew and Gentile together. That was the whole early church. Jew and Gentile together. The full story of God. The people who understood the old covenant and everybody who was learning the new covenant together. So how did they make this work? That would have been really difficult. That would have been difficult. We can just be honest. That would have been difficult. Because they had some expressed differences, didn't they? If you were a Jewish person, there's things you couldn't eat. So what if the person next to you brings bacon that Sunday? I mean, come on. That would be difficult, right? That's a challenge. You think, what? They can't have bacon. Read about it, okay? That's in one of those sections you skip over, okay? It's okay. So there's things you can't do. How do you make that work? How do you do it together? What things can you do and can't you do? And you're trying to figure all of these out together. Like, it's not hard enough to already come to church and do life together and figure things out. Now we got two separate systems, and this is allowed, and this isn't allowed. What do we do, okay? So Paul writes them this. This is what I urge you. If you come across something in the Old Testament, and you're like, oh, I don't know. Here you go. You got to memorize this. You got to write this down. I'll give you the where it's found in a moment here. For everything that was written in former times, just think Old Testament, okay? For everything that was written in former times was written for our instruction, so that through endurance and through encouragement of the scripture, we may have hope. There's instruction in it somewhere. Even if that was God's plan. They were different. They were set apart. Or, you know, they had to work this out being at the crossroads of the earth. That everything is written for our instruction. There is something in there. There is an application that you can make to your life. There's an application because it was written for our instruction that we may have hope. Romans 15:4. It will help you if you're ever reading the Old Testament and you get stuck. Sometime if you want a little challenge, do you realize the first two chapters of your Bible tell the story of God from the beginning, pre-fall, chapter 3 is the fall. The last two chapters of your Bible tell the story of God at the end, where God's ultimate purpose is ultimately carried out. And God says, finally, the dwelling place is with me. Those two bookends. And then everything in the middle, we like try to figure out, and here's Jesus. And do you understand that God created us to be with him? His purpose will happen. Ultimately, says at the end, God will carry it out. The dwelling place of God is with man. And finally, I got what I've been after for the whole beginning. The question is, will we be a part of it? Will we be a part of it? Are we following Jesus? Have we been forgiven? Have we found salvation in him? Because God has a purpose. His purpose is he'd love to be with you. He wants to know you. He wants you to know him. But he's not going to make you. And he's not going to force you. But his purpose was to live with us. And I hope that you will see that started at the beginning. And all the way at the end, John says, it happens. That God's purpose ultimately happens. Will you be a part of what God is doing? Hopefully that helps you today understand old and new. Put everything together so you understand this is for our instruction and for our help. That God has a purpose and a plan, and he is working through all of us. So, let's pray, and then we'll worship one more time this morning. Father, I know that was a lot today. Maybe confusing at times because we have this Old Testament and New Testament, and then we hear about people talking about just getting rid of the old and just focus on the new, and we don't know what to do at times. I just pray today, Father, we have a little more understanding, but that we know that everything was written for our instruction and our good. That you would love us so much. You started in the beginning with a plan, and you created us in your image to live with us, to dwell with us. And we sinned. We broke what you created in the connection. And yet you had a plan from the beginning to redeem and to restore and to rescue. And we thank you for that. I pray this morning we would approach your word just with a heart full of gratitude. That even the parts that we don't understand, we don't know why anybody would write it, and you got to go to college to figure it out. You have instruction and purpose and plan in all of it. And it might be something that's obsolete and been replaced, Jesus, because you have come. But it's for our instruction. Thank you for working in our hearts. Thank you for giving us your word. So we aren't out just trying to figure things out on our own. We have instruction, we have direction, we have purpose. We thank you for your word. We know it's a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. If we would dare open it and read it and apply it to our lives, help us to do that. And as we stand to worship you, Father, this morning, I love this song, Come As You Are. Because we walked in having all sorts of different weeks. Some good, some bad, some indifferent. Some of us are not looking forward to what's coming up next. Some of us are. And you invite us to come as we are, to lay our burdens and our concerns at your feet and watch you work in a powerful way in our lives. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you for your word. Work in our hearts and lives. We pray all this in Jesus' name.